the KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about education. There's a lot of people in our state that have varying opinions about how education should be done. And today we're joined by Jennifer Rowan, the executive director of the Estancia Valley Classical Academy. She's joined by grammar school director Davina Turner, and Aurora Hernandez is a junior at the upper school and just has told me before we started here that she's been involved with the school for some time, the Estancia Valley Classical Academy. Talk to us a little bit about how the academy is different from typical public schools.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. So EVCA is different from other public schools because as a charter school, we are able to select the curriculum, and we also have a mission statement that talks about high expectations, not only in academics, but also in character. And so at EVCA, we really focus on the whole student, and the goal is to have good citizens. That really is the goal of EVCA, is to teach how to be a good citizen.
But you call yourself, this is a classical education. And I know on your website, Ms. Rowan, you emphasize knowing about American history and what our founders intended. Why does that make such a big difference?
One of the, there's different elements of the founding principles that we highlight at EVCA. One of them that is really embedded in everything that we teach as far as what's in the classroom, in the hallways, and everything is self-governance. There's the idea of self-governing, and that doesn't mean just going and doing anything that you want. There is a way to be a citizen in self-governing, and that comes with being disciplined and really knowing right from wrong and being able to hold yourself and others accountable. And that does go back to it's really hard to be a good citizen and contribute if you don't have self-governance. So that's one of the items that we try to highlight.
I might phrase it a little bit differently.
Okay,
there's an aspect of considering other people more important than yourself.
Yes.
That's pretty hard to teach, isn't it?
It is.
But that's counter to our culture?
Correct. We talk about it a lot. We talk about it every day in flag ceremony. We call them pillars of character. They're embedded in discussions and Socratic conversations that we have starting all the way down in kindergarten. And there's also discussions within discipline and just in everyday conversations that have to do with modeling and showing and did you do the right thing? And a big part of that is putting others first.
Just last week, I had a kindergarten parent tell me about their student, and this was at home. I won't tell you what the student was working on, whatever. And the student came out and just said, "Ah, Mom, I persevered and I did it." And that's one of our pillars of character.
I love that. Tell us a little bit more, Mrs. Turner, about the lower school, the grammar school. You talk with Ms. Rowan about, you know, the whole school, and that includes elementary through high school. So when you start talking about grammar school, how early are the students taught about the values you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, as she said, we have flag ceremony. So every day in flag ceremony, we are discussing character, discussing how we choose every day to grow our character, to be the people that we are supposed to be, good citizens. Our grammar school students, everything we do in grammar school, we have the lens of what type of student do they need to be? What things do they need to be successful upper school students? And of course, our goal is to have lifelong good citizens. And so that starts in grammar school. We help them learn to think, but not tell them what to think. So that's kind of a quick summary of what happens in grammar school, but there's so much more.
Let me go to Aurora. You've been involved since, did you say second or third grade?
Second grade, yeah.
Second grade. So Mrs. Turner says that you haven't been told what to think. You've been taught the process of thinking.
Yes, how to think.
How to think.
I don't remember a lot of grammar school. I'm not fully sure why, but being in upper school, one of the things you have to do as a senior that I'll get to do next year is you have to come up with your own thesis. They'll give you a question, you think of your answer to that, and then you defend it. This year, that question is, what is the good? And we're not given an answer to that. We're not told what we have to think about it. We're just shown how to get there, and then we get to defend it, and we get to, it is our personal beliefs. And we really get, that's one of the things that I really like about EBCA is we're told, not told, we're taught how to come to our own conclusions.
Yeah. And I mean, you get to decide all aspects.
Yes.
You could be a person of faith or not.
Right.
You could be a person that loves science or not.
Right.
Maybe I should say a person that loves math or not. I would have been the or not to that equation. But there's also some empirical evidence that shows that we would say, because we're on a church campus, we would say that there's some fruit of what you guys are doing. You can see in action your fourth grade reading scores, your eighth grade math scores. I don't know. You might tell us some of the other measurables that you're looking at compared to just typical public schools.
One of the things, and I wish I brought this data because our moral philosophy instructor, she also is teaching the senior thesis class this year. And when I was speaking with her earlier in this second semester, and I was asking her, how is the senior thesis class going? And one of the items that she told me was that she came from teaching in a university. She was in a different state at the time when she taught English at a university. But one of the things she told me is that at that point in the semester, the papers, the senior thesis papers that she was reading were a higher caliber than her freshman college papers that she had read when she was a college professor. And I thought that was amazing. And she did. She said, I can provide data if you would like. And I said, yes, please. We want the data. but yeah, they start reading in kindergarten, and our SAT scores, I know we do have the statistics on our website from, I believe, last school year's SAT. And not only are they above the state average in New Mexico, they're actually above the national average.
Okay. So I'm thinking there's parents listening right now. There's
yes.
grandparents listening right now. The website is TheEVCA for Estancia Valley Classical Academy.com, TheEVCA.com. Lots of information available. So if a parent or a grandparent or anybody's interested in their child becoming a student, what's that process?
So they would go to our website that you just gave, and on that front page, there is a button that says enrollment. And so they would click where it says enrollment, and there's instructions on that page, but there's basically a button that you click to put in what's called a letter of intent. And the reason that I want to bring up the letter of intent is because it's not nearly as scary as it sounds. it's not a letter that you have to write. It's nothing like that. It's basically the formal name where you go in and you put your students' information. So the name, the grade level that they're going to go into. And it's basically to show that you are interested in having your student enrolled. And then I would highly encourage anyone who is interested to do that as soon as yes. possible. And the reason that I say that is because we're having our open enrollment lottery tomorrow, Tuesday, March 18th. And so if you would like to get one of our currently open seats, I would encourage you to register quickly. And if you don't, it certainly doesn't mean that your student won't get a seat. It's just if there's not open seats. They would be put on a wait list.
Where's the school physically located?
The school is in Edgewood,
okay.
New Mexico. So it's right off of exit 187 in Edgewood. I think people think that Edgewood is a really far drive from Albuquerque. It's really not. The vast majority of the drive time is interstate, and it takes maybe 30 minutes.
And we have several students and teachers that come from Albuquerque.
Okay. And of course, you have a lot from Moriarty, yes. Edgewood area, Tijeras, proper, Cedar Crest. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and go ahead, Aurora.
I was going to say, I know a student who comes out from Estancia.
Yeah. Mm.
So they come from pretty far to go to school there.
Yeah. And, you know, on top of the fact that, you know, you're located in the East Mountain area, there's also a pretty pretty place.
Oh, it's very pretty.
To be,
yes.
Yeah. Now, I know we're all a little nervous about the winds that we've been having locally, and nobody's immune to that. I don't know anybody in New Mexico that's immune to that. But so if you have a second grader, they can apply.
Absolutely, yes.
What if they're a sophomore in high school at a different school? Can they apply?
Absolutely, they can. And there are seats available in our upper school, so... Yes, any grade that's interested, I would highly encourage them to apply.
And for our upper school, we have someone who is our student life director. That's a name that some people are familiar with. She does a great job of looking at the credits students are bringing in, helping them make a plan for the future. She's our person that does our next step plans because, of course, we follow state requirements with things like that. And so they do a really great job of helping the student get a sense of belonging. Would you agree, Aurora?
Oh, absolutely.
Help them belong. Maybe you can help us with that with a new student. What would that be like?
Sorry, one more time. I was like,
what would it be like for a new student to come in? Like if a new student came in as a junior right now, how would you guys, your class, help that student get acclimated?
So EVCA it's pretty tough. And coming in high school, it's not going to be any easier. But I think that being such a small school, your class really becomes your family. And when someone walks in, we don't treat them any differently. We've had a few students that are relatively new still, and we treat them exactly the same as we would. So you're not just coming in and then attending the classes and then going home and trying your hardest to get caught up and understand everything. You can rely on your peers and your classmates, and I do a lot of the time. I'm so grateful for my classmates.
What's studying look like? I mean, do you all get together as a group? Yeah, we have this thing we have to do. Do you do that together?
Absolutely. We have a few study periods where we'll all get together. We'll get around a table. Most of the time it's for our trigonometry class or our physics class right now. But we have a tradition, at least my class does. At the end of every year, we get together at one of the restaurants nearby or just somewhere, and we get together and we just study for finals. It's usually a majority of the grade, like 3/4 most of the time. We rely on each other a lot for studying, too. It's whenever you have free time, you'll sit down with one of your classmates, ask them a couple questions if you have them, or you just sit there and quiz each other, and it's really helpful.
You know, before we started today, and I want to emphasize this classical approach to education, and I really want our listeners to understand, you know, where you're coming from with that. And one of the things I brought up is you guys use a curriculum from Hillsdale College. And anybody can go to hillsdalecollege.com. I recommend that you go take their Constitution 101 course. I've done it actually 3 times because I really got into it, but I'm kind of a slow learner, so I had to go back and, you know, refresh. But there were things that happened several years ago when we had, you know, a lot of talk about social justice and all these different things, and people were saying, tear down that statue of Thomas Jefferson because he was a slave owner and this and that. And there wasn't anybody saying, oh, yeah, it was okay to be a slave owner. Obviously, that was not what he should have been doing. And here's the profound thing. He knew that. When he wrote the Declaration of Independence, most people think he was the primary author, and he talked about men being created equal. He was a slave owner of 40 people. And then 8 years later, he writes a letter to the assembly at Virginia, and he talks more about why slavery is bad, the whole time being a slave owner. So we can all theorize, and that's a topic for another discussion, maybe 10 radio shows, why human beings can't do exactly what they're supposed to do. But that's what you're engaged in. You're really teaching students what the actual history is and what the human beings involved in that actual history were contemplating.
That's right. One of the, not even one, there's multiple levels of Western civilization and history in the upper school that the students focus on. And there's history taught starting in kindergarten. And I think one of the important things to remember about history is just because you learn something, it doesn't mean that you're learning just about the good things that happened. Mm. It's important to understand the good and the bad. And that's why we have such an emphasis on the first thing students have to learn is facts. You can't analyze, you can't come up with an informed opinion and argument if you don't know the facts. So, you know, talking about classical education is rooted in what's called a trivium, and it's just different stages of learning. There's the grammar stage, the logic stage, and the rhetoric stage. And no matter what it is that you're learning, is it history, is it math, is it philosophy, is it how to tie your shoe, you have to start with the facts. And so that is a big part of what classical education means, is you start in that grammar stage with the facts. And then once you learn the facts, then you can start moving into the different areas of, okay, let's analyze this. And then onto the rhetoric stage of, okay, let's form an opinion and have a conversation and gather evidence of what I'm going to think and how I can back it up. And so that's a big part of classical education, is that trivium.
We're visiting this afternoon with the team from Estancia Valley Classical Academy, Jennifer Rowan, the executive director, Davina Turner, the grammar school director, and Aurora Hernandez. She's a junior at the upper school. Lots more to come. They'll be with us till 2 o'clock. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Always appreciate everybody coming here on a Monday and listening to what's going on. I think that our listeners, just to let our guests know, our listeners listen intently. This is not background noise for most of them. We either have Bible studies going on or like now a talk-related show. But people are really listening because they're interested. And I think there's a lot of parents out there that would like to improve the educational opportunities for their kids. So let's start with this question, Mrs. Turner. How much does this all cost at the Estancia Valley Classical Academy?
Do you pay your taxes?
I do.
Okay, that's all it costs. Everyone pays their taxes. Charter schools, we are a state charter school, which means we are also a public school, but we are a school of choice. That means anyone that wants to can sign up. Ms. Rowan talked about the letter of intent, about enrolling. You can do that at any time. And again, it costs nothing. Now, we do not have buses. We do not have a cafeteria at our charter school. So that does mean you need to bring your student to school and pack a lunch. But otherwise, we are a free public school and we service everybody. We have a large special education department and a strong special education department. We have children of every need imaginable, and everybody is serviced, and we have gifted.
Can I ask if you have young people of all faiths participating in your school? Because I think that's important. You know, you are actually serving all the students. And I can't help but go back to what we were talking about earlier, Ms. Rowan, about, you know, how our nation was founded. Our nation was founded to take care of everybody. Didn't matter whether you believed or not, but everybody need to think about everyone else and their needs first. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I think it's amazing that I guess I should go to Aurora and say, Aurora, you just were sharing during the break that students get together. Is it a philosophy course?
Yes, the moral philosophy class.
Okay, and you're having discussions about what you think.
Correct, yeah.
And you're actually being taught how to do that in a civil manner. I'm kind of hoping some New Mexico legislators are listening.
So our Socratic seminars that we have, we've been doing it since last year, actually, so the Intro to Moral Philosophy class. But you spend a majority of your time looking over just the information that you've been given. You talk about it with your teacher. It's a very open discussion. And then after a while, you'll be put into a small group and you'll get to talk about it with your peers. The teacher doesn't often lead it, actually. She just kind of throws us in and we talk about it as students and what we actually believe. It's not really led by anyone. We just talk. And what I love about it is it's not a debate. It's not an argument. We're not trying to convince anyone of anything. We are simply discussing the material and we're having a civil conversation.
And when you say, I just want to clarify, when you say when you're given something to read or to go over, like what type of items are you given that you have discussions about?
So C.S. Lewis, Abolition of Man, that's one of the books that we read. We actually keep going back to it, but a lot of the time we'll link that to another reading or just a couple chapters of a book that our teacher gave us, and we'll just bring all of that together. So most of the time it's a larger text, like a book, and we can pick any material from it, or it's a select few pages of something, but either way, that's what we use.
And I'd like to jump on that because that is the classic literature model that we follow beginning in kindergarten. So our students from kindergarten are reading, I'm just going to call them tried and true classical literature. And so they're getting deep, rich literature from a young age, and literature that causes them to question, to think. It's sometimes they have to grapple with the information because, of course, they have to place themselves in a different time period or a different things like that. And so they're learning that from a young age. And then when they're given these other materials, primary sources, things like that, they can bring all that together to form a decision. And what's great, the kids don't always agree when they're having these conversations.
No, we really do not.
And I love that because you go in and you see that and you can tell that they don't agree, but they're great. They walk out of their friends and they have their own opinions, but they both had texts to back it up. It's a wonderful thing to watch.
It's very interesting. My teacher has actually, I've heard her talking to other teachers about how proud of us she is because when she was in college, she would have these discussions and it never ended the way that ours. And she always talks about how civil ours are and that we don't argue over it the way most adults do. So it's really, we're respectful of each other. We really, really are.
I think in the whole time you're talking, though, I'm thinking about there's people that maybe have been raised in a typical public school.
Right.
And I'm going to say that many of those people are what I would call relative thinkers. They don't necessarily believe in truth. Mm-hmm. I don't even think, you know, I never qualify truth with absolute truth. Truth is either truth or it isn't. And there's not 10 different things that are true. Like, for example, I use the example of I was a banker for my career and retired. There's not 50 ways to take care of your money. There's fundamentals of saving money, investing money, and that's, you know, there's 50 different things you can invest in, but the fundamentals are really the same in all of those. So let me go to you, Mrs. Rowan, and talk to you about what's the history behind the school? There's a lot of backstory to this. It didn't just all happen at one time.
No, that's very true. So it started with, we had 9 founders, actually, and they were from a wide background variety. There was a husband and a wife, a retired school teacher. There was a Air Force, I think he was a fighter pilot. He was retired. His son and just these people got together because at the time they were unhappy with their choices for their public education in the area. And it just so happened that they were having this discussion and one of them had seen a call for proposals from Hillsdale College for people who were interested in starting charter schools. And they saw it I think they had, I wish I could remember, they had such a short window of when they actually needed to submit the proposal, but they sat down, the nine of the founders sat down and wrote up a proposal, and they submitted it to Hillsdale College, and Hillsdale College responded and was interested, and so worked with them to develop this charter school in a very fast way. A lot of people learned a lot. But yeah, thanks to those nine founders, EVCA exists today.
Yeah. And you've had graduates that have gone on to success in both college and in their careers?
Absolutely. And I do want to emphasize this is a special graduating class this year because this is our first group of seniors who are going to be graduating who have been able to go all the way from kindergarten through their senior year. So this is going to be our first graduating class where some of them started at EVCA in kindergarten. But yes, the goal is to graduate citizens who are critical thinkers. And what that means is going to college, that's great if that's what they want to do. We've had many students go to college and be extremely successful. We have people who have gone into other career fields. I know we have firefighters and some students who have gone into the military and some students who just wanted to go directly into the work field and do other things. And so we want them to be able to graduate and go do anything that they want to do. That's the goal.
I love that. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back with the Estancia Valley Classical Academy team. This is ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
ABQ Connect.
Talking about education, not only in New Mexico, but the Estancia Valley Classical Academy is really setting a standard for charter schools, public school education at their school. You do not pay for tuition. Mrs. Turner pointed out that you are a taxpayer, so you are paying for the education in some indirect way, but you are able to take advantage of being part of this neat school. It's located in Edgewood, New Mexico. And I want to start with this question, Mrs. Turner. If you have a third grader, so they've been going preschool, first and second at a different school, will they have a hard adjustment coming in as a third grader?
That's a great question. First, I'd like to say good job getting school of choice and coming to EVCA. And once you are there, there is a team that is really going to surround you. Our curriculum is a challenge. We have high expectations, but we also know and believe that students can meet those expectations. When students come in, for example, as you said, a third grade, our K through two is very focused on our literacy program. Our kindergartners are reading. Our math is a Singapore math. It is a very challenging math. And so there are some gaps. So we'll just be honest, it is a difficult transition. However, our teachers are so good at communicating with parents, at helping assess where the students are when they come in to see where those gaps are, helping equip parents. For example, some of our curriculum you can find online, download, so parents have that. Our teachers use what's called Plan Book. Our teachers do an excellent job of spelling out everything that's happening in the day. They have links on there so parents can go home and follow up. So there are those resources. All of our staff at EVCA are very happy to have parents reach out and find whatever resource they need. So is it difficult? Yes, but there is support, and it's such a great experience when you see these kids come in and be proud of the learning that they've accomplished. It's really, really exciting.
Any difference at the upper school?
I'll piggyback on what Ms. Turner said. She did mention it is a challenge. It is a challenge, but it's so worth it. So one of the things I want to emphasize about the upper school is if a student comes in grades 7, 8, or 9, it's a natural transition. They would just come into EVCA and start the curriculum with the students in that grade level. If they come in 10th, 11th, or 12th, I do just want to make sure that it's clear that we do have EVCA graduation standards. So they would, we would look at their transcript and then evaluate, you know, would they come in as a sophomore, junior, senior? A lot of the credits that they might take at another school that we don't offer at EVCA do count. But again, Ms. Turner said they would meet with the student life coordinator, and so she would be able to evaluate what credits fit where, and what grade level students would come in. One of the things I do want to make sure that I mention is we do understand that the family, meaning the parents, the guardians, they are the student's first teacher. And so we really do expect and want and foster a relationship with the parents and guardians, because we view that relationship as a team effort. And I do want to make sure that parents and guardians out there know we do have expectations for the family, which is not typical of all of the public schools. Our students have homework, and our students are expected to do homework on a daily basis and to study. It is a challenge, but it is certainly not something that is not reachable. But it is a team effort to be successful.
Aurora, I'm going to ask you a question that's not on our little list.
Uh-oh.
You might be mad at me.
Okay.
What I'm going to ask you is, you're talking about reading classics.
Right.
A lot of people love those books, and it's amazing. But I suspect that the typical public school's not reading many of those, maybe in some of their advanced classes.
Right.
So I'm thinking with the amount of homework and the amount of reading that you're required, that gives you a little bit less time to be on your cell phone.
Yes, it does.
So you actually have to put up with reducing your screen time. How do you adjust to that?
Depending on how long you've gone to EVCA, with as long as I've been there, it's not much of an adjustment. It's what I'm used to doing. I usually have it with me, but it's mainly for my calendar, actually, since I'm part of quite a few different clubs and activities. But it's not too difficult for me to not be on the phone. But with as much time as you spend at school, or if you have a job, then you go to work after most days, and then you have studying, you might have other sports that you go to, you might, like, there's so many things that take up your time. So most of us stay off our phones for a majority of the day.
And it's not, though, you're not trying to stay off your phone. Your time's actually being occupied doing other things.
Correct, yeah.
Dare I say more productive things?
More productive things.
Talk to us about fine arts. You mentioned that's a fun thing that you like to participate in.
This is my favorite thing to talk about, actually. So after you go into upper school, you're given an elective where you get to choose how you spend that. We have a lot of different clubs. We have guitar, piano, theater, choir, Dungeons and Dragons, speech and debate. There are so many different things that you can do with that time. What I keep choosing is either the drama or the theater production, that department. I really do love doing that. I've been there since eighth grade,
Do you get to perform?
Yes, absolutely. So right now, the one that we're working on, we've blocked all of it. We have our lines memorized. Today's actually the off-book date. But we do get deadlines for that. So it's not like easier than any of your other classes would be. There is still homework for guitar and piano, learning what you're doing, performing. So it's not any easier, but it is incredibly fun. And it's one of my favorite parts of the school. We're given so many different clubs and activities that we can do. Right now, musical theater is what's going on. So it's a mixture of the choir and the theater class. And a lot of times they will come together. We'll have the guitar club come in and do some stuff, the piano class come in, a whole bunch of different things.
We already said there's not a tuition that you have to pay mm-hmm. to go to EVCA, but there's probably some costs that are not different than any public school. So can you tell us a little bit about those? Not necessarily specifics, but like if you have to take a road trip somewhere to do a excavation for archaeology or geology or something like that, then you probably have to pay to go on the bus.
Did you go on the tour to the Shakespearean Theater this school year?
I did, for the theater class.
Yes.
So that money we entirely raised ourselves. Mm. We made it was through, oh goodness, what was it? Our Macbeth performances, which a classic. We love, I love performing the classics. But we put on that, we kept the money that we made from tickets and from concessions, and then we did other fundraisers to make that money so that we could go on that trip. We went to Virginia, and it was super fun. We were there for a week, I want to say. And then another thing that I have done is I'm in student government, and we recently went on a trip to one of the Albuquerque schools for NMASC. It's where all of the student governments in New Mexico get together and just do this really big event. And all of the money that we used to go on that trip is money that we made. So for a lot of the clubs and activities, it's money that you make while you're there. It's not necessarily a school expense.
Well, I'm asking that question because there's a lot of parents. They want the absolute best education for their kids possible. They can afford taking a drive to Edgewood. We're going to ask about safety in our last, you know, I know you have a safe school. We're going to ask about that in a minute. But they can't afford big tuition payments and those kind of things. And yet we're talking about your school and how all of the numbers, academic numbers and so forth, are much higher than you would find in the bottom of the list, New Mexico. I love New Mexico. I hate the fact that we're at the bottom of the list in education. Shouldn't be the case. But you guys are actually probably bringing it up a little bit because your numbers are counted, but we need the public schools to get an idea about what you guys are doing and maybe adopt some of those things. Last question for this segment is to Ms. Rowan. What's the biggest obstacle you guys face as educators, not just at Estancia Valley, but what's the biggest obstacle that you think educators are facing?
I think right now it's just going against what is advertised as cool in mainstream media. You know, it used to be in mainstream media that being good to your friends and being good to your family and studying, those were the things that you did that made you cool. And right now in mainstream media, that is not what's being portrayed. So depending on, you know, what the students are seeing or hearing in the media, it's kind of going against that. And that's one of the things that can be a struggle. I know Aurora commented on her cell phone and her screen time. You know, they're not allowed to be on their cell phones at all in school. And we try very hard to limit screen time at all.
I think there's students are, you know, listening right now that are convulsing about what you just said.
Yes. Yes. And so I think it's just, you know, that's the expectation that we have during the school day. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I mentioned that it's so important to partner with families, is because we certainly wouldn't expect people to change what they're doing at home, but just to kind of have that same expectation and understanding that, you know, this is what we're trying to promote in the school, and we want to be a team with the families and not against.
And I'd like to add on to the devices during the day. When you walk in our classrooms, it's rare that you see students on their Chromebooks or on any kind of computer devices. Of course, we have to use them for testing and certain things, but our students are interacting with the teachers and with each other and with texts and writing and reading. And it's really great to see that interaction.
Do they still teach penmanship?
Yes.
They do? Because I need to take one of those classes.
It is a very important part of learning. They don't learn to read. They begin with how to hold a pencil, how to write, before they even begin reading.
And we still teach cursive.
Cursive. Yes. I love cursive.
That's really cool.
You have to be able to know cursive to read original documents.
Yes. Yeah. That's not a thing? I mean, in a lot of schools today?
It's not. A lot of schools don't teach cursive anymore.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of kids my age who don't go to EBCA who don't know how to read or write in cursive.
That is really crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I'm way older than I thought I was. We're with Jennifer Rowan, the executive director, Davina Turner, the grammar school director, and Aurora Hernandez. She's a junior at the Estancia Valley Classical Academy. They're located up in Estancia, or actually in Edgewood, in the Estancia Valley. The phone number there is 505-431-3822. More information is available at theevca.com. Very important, if you have any interest, you're not really committing yourself to something right now, but get on the website if you have any interest in your student going there. They are going to have a lottery for the open positions, and that may take you a couple of tries, but no harm in getting that application
and
done.
It will absolutely help. If anybody has any issues at all, call the phone number. We will help. We will walk you through the process if you have any issues with it at all.
We're going to come back and talk about safety at EVCA. And what I mean by that is, does a student like Aurora feel safe? And how do you keep the bad guys out? We'll be back after these messages.
Live.
Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Let's start this segment with Ms. Rowan. And she's the executive director of the Estancia Valley Classical Academy. How safe are students? Maybe we talk about physical security, but also, and I'm going to defer to Aurora in a minute too, please, you guys talk together, all three of you, about, you know, how do you keep kids safe, and like, even how do you address bullying and all those kind of things?
I will very confidently say we have one of, if not the safest school in New Mexico. And I can tell you a little bit more about that, but one of the pieces I'll highlight is we had a retired New Mexico State Police lieutenant agreed to join the EVCA staff a couple of years ago with the intent of the security program and establishing a security program for the school that at the time was different than other security in the state of New Mexico. And so our building itself, what I will say is there's one entrance that people can go in or go out of. We have a gate and fencing. And so there's one entry point, and the entry point is monitored by the front desk. So we actually don't have to open the door for people unless we know that they have an intent to be there. And aside from the one entrance and the fences, we do have two armed security officers on campus, and they have a rapport with the students that I think is absolutely amazing. So,
and yeah, our security officers are also retired officers, so they're the trained officers. They're not.
I completely get that. So, you know, I've done a lot of shooting in my life. And I've taken about every available training course there is. But when you take a police officer who has 10,000 rounds downrange, or a former military person, I'll not ever get that many rounds downrange. And so they have training and everything that way exceeds. So I'm glad. I think parents will be thoughtful about that and appreciate that effort, because we do have stories, you know, about different things happening around the country. And I think it's important. How about bullying, Aurora? Are there things going on, Aurora, that you worry about as far as being bullied?
Not really. With the school being as small as it is, especially upper school, you really do get to know everybody. And on the off chance that there is something going on, if you can't fall back on your peers and your classmates, from what I have seen, staff members take it seriously when you go to them with one of your problems too. So not only do you have friends and classmates to rally behind you on the off chance that there is something going on, which I haven't actually seen anything, and I've been at the school for a while, but if you can't talk to your friends or family or classmates or anything about what's going on, if you take it to the staff, they will take it seriously.
Mm. And we work really hard in our discipline matrix, which we do follow our discipline matrix. It's very clear.
You mean all your students aren't perfect?
We all make mistakes, including myself, and we all learn from them. And that's what we really encourage our students by using our pillars of character. Every conversation we have, discipline doesn't mean you're being in trouble. It means you're being discipled. Mm. And so we really work hard to help our students when we discuss things with them. We have them tell us what pillar of character they struggled with. We have them come to that point of growth so that you're not just telling them what they did wrong, what their consequences are. You work through it and see them grow. And so there's been great conversations. No one wants to be in trouble and go to the principal's office. But often the students will confess themselves and then you move on and move forward. And so I appreciate that in a school, that we really don't just say we follow the pillars of character. We use it in all aspects for the growing of our character.
I think all three of you have emphasized that parents are involved. I do know coaches in particular that would love to coach kids were if they didn't have parents. They want to coach teams of orphans because parents sometimes interfere in ways that are crazy. But you guys have involved the parents. They're part of the team and you're involving them. And that adds to the culture, right?
It does, yes. And one of the things that we do is we have meetings with incoming families to not only, you know, give them paperwork and go over expectations with them, but to actually give them a tour, explain the daily happenings, and just make sure that they don't have any questions, go over anything.
And it's really important to us that parents know what's happening. We don't do things at our school that we would not share with parents. I mean, there's things throughout the day. Parents don't know every little thing. But boy, if a parent says, what about this? I would love to tell them. If we're having a conversation with their kids in our office, we, as Ms. Rowan said, we want to include parents. We believe parents have the right and should know what's happening.
Again, we have to emphasize there's some urgency. If you're interested in the EVCA, the Estancia Valley Classical Academy, for your student, and again, that's kindergarten through 12th grade. Lots of opportunities, but not a lot of slots available. And so tomorrow you have a lottery. And so if they go online today at theevca.com and did you call it a letter of intent?
Yes. And they would just click on enrollment, and then there's instructions to follow on that page.
And how long is that process?
Honestly, it only takes a few minutes. It's just filling out basic information about your student.
And so there'll be a selection lottery tomorrow. And then can students still get in if they're not selected tomorrow?
Absolutely, yes. So the only advantage of completing it until before tomorrow is after tomorrow, the open seats are filled. There might still be some after that, but it's not a guarantee. So the student might go on the end of the wait list.
Okay.
And our office staff is just amazing. If anybody wants to call and prefer someone to walk them through, our ladies just take care of our families just amazingly. They do a great job. So don't hesitate to call with questions also.
Absolutely.
That phone number is 505-431-3822. The Estancia Valley Classical Academy is a state-accredited charter school. No tuition is collected. It's not a private school. It's a state charter school. But your standards, I guess, I don't know how to sugarcoat it, but are higher than you would typically find in a public school.
We challenge all students. They might start in different areas, but we challenge all of them to reach their full potential. We really want to teach students how to persevere, and the only way to teach them is to show them and have them practice.
Aurora, you got about 12 seconds to tell me where you're going to be in 10 years. Am I expecting you to be Congresswoman Aurora?
I wish. No. I've been looking at being a trauma surgeon, so in about 10 years, you'll probably still see me in school.
I love it.
If it weren't for EVCA, I don't know if I'd survive that.
So. That's awesome. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. ABQ Connect.